Edgar Schein, a professor at MIT, states the only thing for real importance that leaders do is to create and manage culture. If you do not manage culture, it manages you, and you may not even be aware of the extent to which this is happening. To be a good leader, we must be culture builders. And sometimes culture, it's built on a whim. And sometimes you have to look and act like a fool, like an idiot, like I did in my case. But I'll also tell you that you will never regret these times. And when you start to see the effects of this culture building, it's going to amaze you. And I'm going to tell you that story here in a minute. But first, before we get started with this episode, let me introduce myself. My name is Steve Baumgartner. I'm the host and founder of the Fireforge Leader podcast. And my mission here today, and the mission of this podcast, is to serve you through providing knowledge and tools around leadership strategies on three primary battlefronts. Those battlefronts are simply out in your workplace, in your community, and most importantly, with your own family. Now let's get to work.
Leaders are not born in a womb. They are forged through heat, pressure, and a whole lot of sweat. The Fireforge Leader podcast serves the audience through exploring leadership at work, in the community, and with the family, using a practical perspective and real-life experiences from the host, Steve Baumgartner, and his guests in the Forge. Now, it's time to enter the Forge with the Fireforged Leader.
All right, before we really get into it, let me tell you a couple ways you can help out the show. First, make sure we're getting out there and giving the show a rating. I don't care on what podcasting app you're currently listening to this to. Those ratings really help us grow and reach more people. And while you're in that little space, how about you write us a review to let other people know why you listen to the show? And last, but certainly not least, let's smash that subscribe button so you don't miss out on a single episode. With that being said, are you guys ready to dive into this story? I know I am. So I started off my current role in May of 2022. This plant that I took over leadership in, it was in red, absolute red, in many of the key metrics that matter, especially the financials. It was harsh. It was really harsh for a while. Trying to learn this new role, dig myself out of a hole and get, sorry, dig the entire plan out of a hole, and simply just to get people motivated to take that extra step, to dive in just a little bit more, to drive harder. They were all working hard at the moment, probably harder than they work right now. But, it was evident that this team was not in sync. Now, there were a lot of issues back then in this plant. But really, most of those issues were that not everyone was working towards the same vision. Not everybody had the same mantra. So let me tell you about when the tide started to change, which really happened over a period of time. but you could feel it coming. You could feel that wave. So first off, I was in a new role. I was trying to learn rather than simply just come over and be heavy-handed, right? I had worked for people like that. I had worked for those people who, when the plant didn't perform, rather than trying to motivate, they stepped on people's heads and on people's backs. I didn't want to be that guy. And as I was learning, as I was taking it slow, I was spending basically two shifts at the plant trying to learn, trying to get caught up to speed. And I learned a ton, and I still do learn a ton from the man who's at my right hand. This gentleman has been in this business for a very long time. And I have a great amount of respect for this individual and a ton of trust, to be honest with you. So me and this gentleman would take walks through the facility. We'd look at all the lines. We'd be looking at all the opportunities. We'd be talking to people. We'd be talking to the leadership around the plant, the supervisors and superintendents, to maintenance, to food safety, whoever. And we were trying to put band-aids on gushing wounds. It was a harsh time period, and everybody was feeling it. I was definitely feeling it because I had a call every week with the person who I reported to, the vice president. And it didn't feel like we were making much headway. And then there was this one day, and this was the day that started the chain. It started a chain of culture change. So we stopped over into one of the supervisors' offices. We have multiple supervisors' offices. It's a large manufacturing environment. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this trophy. And atop this trophy sits a pig. I work in the pork business, right? So it's fitting. And there happened to be one supervisor who was in there doing a little bit of paperwork. And I asked the supervisor what that trophy was there for. What did we use that trophy for? He went on to tell me that that's a trophy that they used to hand out from leadership to the supervisors, and they used it for competition. They would use the trophy for records that different teams would break in the facility. So my curiosity got the better of me. I asked him, well, why the hell is it sitting in the corner with an inch of dust on it then? And at first, he tried to play it off. He's like, well, we don't do that anymore, right? But I dug into it a little bit. And he explained to me all of the hurdles that this plant had had since COVID. People not being able to show up to work because they had COVID. People who were on quarantine from COVID. The hiring issues that they had since COVID, the work ethic, you name it. And in talking with this gentleman, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I have ever talked to anyone who was that visibly and audibly defeated. We left that office, my right hand and I. We walked out of that office, and that conversation weighed very heavily on me. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. But I knew that we had to do something, that we had to change this man's perception. We had to do something so that he could gain his excitement back that I imagine that he once had. So after leaving that office, I looked at my right-hand man and I simply said, "Throw away those damn trophies." And he kind of looked at me with surprise. And I explained to him, I said, "Those trophies bring defeat right now. They will never bring back excitement. Get rid of them. We don't need them anymore." And then I followed that up with, "You know what? Pigs are also prey. And that's not what we're about. We're not sitting there waiting for someone to come along and devour us. We need to be predators and hunt for our success." You know, over the next couple days, we put our heads together and we decided that we needed to dismantle all of the things that were defeating in the plant. One example of that was we had digital boards that had corporate goals on them, and they were always red. These goals were a long distance from where we were at, and they were going to be red for a long time. So we unplugged them. We took them out of service. It was a gutsy move, but it was well worth it. After that, what we did was we said, "Okay, those goals are gone, guys, right? They can live out in the background somewhere in the corporate world. We don't care, but they're not living here right now." And we brought those supervisors together and we did some incremental goal setting. All right. We're not worrying about getting 40% better by tomorrow or next week or next month. We're going to worry about 3%. And I can't remember what it was, but we put that ownership on those people who are running those lines. We asked them, "How long do you need to raise X amount of percent? What actions can we put in place? What support can we give you to reach that goal?" So we didn't shoot for the corporate goal out of the gate. We shot for these smaller goals. Now, here's an example I want to throw out there. I absolutely hate running. Cannot stand it. But I spent a couple years running. And if you've done this, right, if you're one of those people, and I think you're sick if you like running, by the way. But if you're one of these people like me, and, you know, maybe you don't hate running like me, but you don't find a lot of enjoyment with it. A lot of us, what we do is when we're out there running and we're tired as hell, we simply say to ourselves, "I'm not going to quit until I hit the end of the block." And then when you get to the end of the block, you go, "Okay, I made it that far. I can make it one more block." And you just keep on adding up those blocks. This is the same theory, okay? Incremental goals. You can see it. Your vision is shorter, so you can see it clearer. So we took those goals and we built out shop floor control boards with those goals on it. And we built those out for every line. And every line was an individual at this point, right? Some had bigger hurdles than others. And then my right hand and I, every day, every hour, we would take a walk on the production floor. Every hour, the supervisor would come over and explain his or her progress towards goal. They would discuss where they were at. They would know, because we had built up that trust, that we were there to support them in this. So they would tell us what kind of support that they would need. And then we'd also ask them if there's anything that they needed to pivot on or change focus on to continue to grow during the next hour. And we just kept on getting it into smaller bites and smaller bites. And I'll tell you, it took a couple of weeks. But you remember that young man that I talked about that was in the supervisor's office who told me about the pig trophy? I remember that man hitting his first target and the look on his face and the pride that he showed. And when he told me about it, when he looked me in the face and he smiled and he told me that he met that goal, something came over me, and spontaneously, I put my hands on my hips. I leaned back and I belted out this huge lion roar. And then I started clapping. And I did this and I rotated, looking at his team members and everybody who was with me, my right-hand man, that supervisor. And by this time, we had picked up a couple other people who would go on this walk with us. We all started clapping and giving that team praise and letting them know that they had accomplished a goal. And that day, not that entire line, but multiple people on that line, when I roared, they returned. They roared as well. And it was that day that the lion was born in my plant. Now, if you're watching this on video, you'll see right there. It's on my phone. It's on almost every TV's background. There's posters up. There's visuals up. We have trophies. We have statues. And we're predators. And it all came from that one roar, that one lion roar out on the floor, coupled together with that comment that I had made to my right-hand man before. The one about needing to be predators rather than prey. That day, a culture was created. And it was purely accidental. But a culture was created. You know, we continued that practice day after day, and we started crushing the goals, handing out trophies. These lion trophies are freaking awesome, by the way. We were roaring ridiculously. The supervisors joined in. The people joined in. And we eventually started to win day after day, week after week, month after month. When you walk into my plant today, the lion culture, the winning culture is very evident. And people see it. Visitors see it. My team now lives by a motto. And it's simply, set goals, crush them, repeat. The entire year of 2023, this plant, my plant, our plant, is green across the board, was green across the board. And that trend continues into 2024. Did we do anything different? Do we have different people? Do we have different equipment? To each and every one of those questions is the same answer. And that is no. What's different? The culture. Now, if I was going to give you some of my takeaways from this event, they would simply be these. The culture is more important than anything else. The people need culture to be great. They don't need new equipment to be great. They need culture. I also want to put an emphasis on that I didn't need to change out the people to change the culture. I didn't need to change out the equipment to change the culture. But we changed the culture and we started to win. Now, sometimes equipment, poor equipment can hurt culture. I agree with that. And there's more times that I'd probably like to admit that sometimes people have a huge effect on culture, but give them a chance first. Work on changing the culture and then take a look at everything else. Another point is it takes time to build up a culture. This whole time span, we didn't turn all green overnight. It took a long time, and the culture is still developing. You can't change it overnight. It takes time, but you'll see it starting to come. And I want you to harness it and ride it. Next thing is, it's really a leadership skill, and that's that you need to be visible. When you're in a state where the culture needs to change, you need to be with the people more than any other time. And it's going to be painful. And you're going to have to be vulnerable. And sometimes you just got to be damn stupid like I was, right? I don't know what came over me that day that I belted out that roar. And then finally, don't be afraid to lead your team in a direction that they've never gone before. Don't be fearful of that. You will feel when the culture is starting to shift. You will know what to do. Listen for it, see it, harness it, ride it. And that's what I got for you today. Leaders, you have come here to listen to this message once again. But listening is not enough. What are you going to apply today, tomorrow, by next week? Remember, when you become a better leader, you ultimately become a better spouse, a better parent, a better coworker, and ultimately that person that other people want to follow. So go out there and lead well.
You have just experienced the heat and pressure of the forge. Remember, words without action are meaningless. Now, after the heat of the forge, shape your thoughts, quench your brain, then put your new tools to use, adding to your leadership. Tune in next week for more lessons from the forge.